At the beginning of the Mass, I read that letter from Bishop Ricardo to give us a sense of the purpose of this day of prayer and fasting. Certainly, it echoes the sentiments or the thoughts of Pope Francis, who called this day, and perhaps for anyone who's paying any attention, it's not even necessary to read a letter like that because almost everyone knows there's a terrible war going on in the Holy Land. So that's what we're doing today. We're praying for peace. We're praying and fasting for peace. I think it's good to reflect a little bit on what we're doing. Certainly, almost nobody knows this is a day of prayer and fasting for peace. Almost nobody knows it. Even in the church, probably not many people even know it. And those who do know may not take it very seriously. People's attitude toward these wars that are very far away is something like this. Oh, that's really terrible. What those bad people are doing is really terrible. And I wish they wouldn't do that. I wish bad people would stop doing bad things. That's about as far as it goes. No one likes war. But there's this sense of helplessness. What can I do about it? It's over there. I'm not in charge of any country. I'm not in charge of any weapons. I can't do anything about it. And so the attitude, it's kind of a stereotype, is that, well, I wish that wasn't like that. Wishful thinking, in other words, but not really doing anything about it. Well, for those of us who know that there is something we can do, we have a greater responsibility to do it. You might remember that passage, was it 2 days ago? Yes. Much will be required of the person entrusted with much. Still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more. Well, we who have faith have been entrusted with a greater responsibility to participate in the work of peace, because many people really don't know what to do. So what can we do? Naturally, the thought comes to us, what difference does it make if I give up a donut or, you know, a second cup of coffee or something? What difference does it make if I turn off my air conditioner? That's not going to change anything in the Holy Land. And that's true to a certain extent. And even St. Paul, when he is talking about the necessity of love, remember what he says, even if you can speak all different tongues and languages, and even if you can do great work miracles, if you don't have any love, it's worthless. It's just a lot of noise. Even if you give up your body to be burned, if you don't have love, it's worthless. It doesn't do anything. The point being, on our own, our little acts of sacrifice and prayer are of no use. But we're not on our own. That's what faith tells us. We're not by ourselves here. We are members of the body of Christ, and we participate in the work of Christ. We participate in the sacrifice of Christ. That's what we do when we come together for a Mass. We become part of the work. We join Jesus in his act of offering himself to the Father. And then it becomes very precious, even a very small sacrifice, even a very small act of self-denial, or even a short time of prayer, it's very valuable. So please, be convinced of that so that you're not taking this day too lightly. It's easy to lose perspective and to lose hope when there are big problems. After all, when was it? About a year and a half ago, we had one of these days of prayer and fasting because of the war in Ukraine. The war started at the end of February, maybe sometime in March, in Lent of 2022. Pope Francis said, we need to have a day of prayer and fasting. And so we did. We did something like this, special time of adoration and prayer. And that war is still going on. And we might say to ourselves, well, what good did that do? That war has no progress at all in peace there. It seems that people aren't even, they don't even want peace in Ukraine from the look of it. And then in this conflict in the Holy Land, depending on which side you talk to, well, there's every justification for fighting. And that's understandable, of course. But that's not going to get us anywhere. Pope Francis, a couple of days ago, said, what side are you on? Well, on the side of peace. On the side of peace. Because there are thousands of innocent people suffering from this senseless war. And that just should not be. So we participate in the work of peace. Now, we have the advantage of following the liturgy and the scriptures of the liturgy, which give us greater insight into what's going on here. Now, I'm happy that we didn't have yesterday's reading today. Yesterday's reading was the passage where Jesus said, I didn't come for peace, I came for division. And we had to figure out, what is he talking about? Why is Jesus against peace? Well, he's not against peace. He's against false peace. He's against false compromises with sin, with evil. So that was yesterday. Well, in today's reading, in the gospel, Jesus speaks about the necessity of working for reconciliation, which is certainly appropriate for today. And in the first reading, we get an insight into the roots of war, meaning the war that goes on in our own inner life. So let's, first of all, look at what Jesus says here. You know, he says, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. You know how to tell how the weather is going to change. And you're pretty good at it. You see clouds coming, dark clouds on the horizon, you know it's going to rain. You have the hot weather blowing in from the south and it gets hot. Great. He says, well, what about, if you can do that, why don't you interpret the present time? And this is what this prayer this day of prayer and fasting is part of our interpretation of the present time. What's the present time? It's a time of war. It's a time when the world is losing its awareness of the necessity of working together for peace and justice. Instead, people are taking up arms, not only in Ukraine and in the Holy Land, but all over the place. Pope Francis has said many times that it's as if we're in a third world war, but it's being fought piecemeal. It's not one big war in one big area. It's a big war, like broken into pieces and taking place all over the place. And that I think is a good interpretation of what's happening. This war in the Holy Land is just one piece of the bigger problem. So we can interpret the present time and we see there's a war. Then he says, well, then what should you do? Well, you should work things out with your opponent while you're still on the journey. Make an effort to settle the matter on the way. Work for reconciliation. We're all on the way. We're all journeying together through this life, and we all have a responsibility to strive for reconciliation. We may not be able to, we probably don't know anybody in the Holy Land or in Ukraine or in Russia, but we certainly know people in our own lives, in our own families, in our own neighborhoods, with whom we have to work for reconciliation. And that is part of working for peace and justice in the world. He says, if you don't do it, well, you end up being thrown into prison. But that work of reconciliation requires a deeper work. And that's what we learn in today's first reading. Not only striving for reconciliation with others, and that's a big job. That's why it seems so intimidating to think about trying to reconcile warring nations. We can hardly get along with people in our own neighborhood or in our own workplaces. How can warring nations actually work it out? Well, to understand it, we have to go to the roots of it. And this is what St. Paul describes so vividly. He talks about the warfare, he even uses the word war, that goes on inside us. I take delight in the law of God, he says, in my inner self, but I see in my members another principle at war with the law of my mind. So there's a war going on in each person. And it's the war between sin and goodness, or wrong and right. It's the war between the flesh and the spirit. We don't have to look very far. We just look into our own life and say, well, that's right. I got up in the morning and decided to do something good. Right after breakfast, I completely forgot about that good intention and I blew up at so-and-so. What's going on here? Well, there's this divided inner life. Now, this is St. Paul speaking. St. Paul, after his conversion, St. Paul, after his year, he's writing to the Romans, he's already had years of missionary experience of preaching and suffering for the gospel. He's a very holy man. And he's saying about himself, I have this division. I want to do what's right, but I don't do what I want to do. I don't do the good I want to do. Instead, I do the evil that I don't even want to do. Well, if St. Paul is having that struggle, what about the rest of us who are not as holy, who don't have that extraordinary grace that he received? Well, we also don't do the good that we want to do. At the end of the reading, he gets to this point of saying, well, now what? if I can't even go through one day without an inner warfare, what can I possibly do to help the people of Israel or Palestine or Gaza? Then he gives the answer. Oh, who can deliver me from this mortal body? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, the answer to warfare, our own inner warfare and the warfare in the world, is Jesus Christ. He is the answer. He is the solution. He is peace. He has introduced divine peace, a divine principle of peace into the world. It's here. And our part is to accept that grace and cooperate with it as fully as we possibly can. Let the peace of Christ reign in us so that it can reign in the world. We're not in charge of the world. It's true we don't have much say in what goes on, and some little act of sacrifice or little prayer may seem like it's not going to make any difference. But in fact, if we are united with Jesus Christ, it does make a difference. Because he makes a difference. He makes all the difference. So that's what we're doing in this day of prayer and fasting. We are acknowledging that we are broken down and that our relationships and that our nations are broken down. We acknowledge this inner conflict and we say, Lord, we can't solve this on our own, but you can. You have already given the solution. So Lord, reign in us. Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. Let your peace reign in us and in the world. And that's a powerful prayer. It's an effective prayer. It's a prayer that we can make with great confidence. And that's what we do, uniting ourselves with our Holy Father, with everybody who's striving for and praying for and sacrificing for peace. We're one in this sense, because the body of Christ is one, and the intention of God for the good of the world is one. We make that our own intention as we pray and sacrifice for peace.